Hello, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 15, Number 5. In the last edition of Clinical Review, my topic was PSN Number 32, The Athlete's Food Pyramid. I designed this pyramid after reviewing many other food pyramids and food guides, which I discovered all promote, without exception, a high carbohydrate diet, including refined carbs and sugars, which tend to fatten people up through their ill effects on glucose and insulin metabolism. The food pyramid I put together is designed for athletes engaged in the sport of life, and of course, the object of the game is to succeed at being well. The athlete's food pyramid is color-coded into 9 different compartments with variation in category size to help distinguish certain food groups from one another, as well as to establish the significance of one group over the other. The 9 different compartments include 1, dietary supplements, 2, water, 3, freshly squeezed live juices, 4, fresh organic vegetables, 5, fresh organic fruit, 6, low-fat wild tissue protein, 7, cultured low-fat dairy products, 8, peas, beans, lentils, legumes, whole grains, nuts, and seeds, and finally, number 9, fresh live oils and natural sweeteners. The food groups displayed in the pyramid are well suited to human genetics and human health, and they're all reinforced by ancient tradition, culinary history, nutrigenomics, and Paleolithic research. It's obvious to me that the USDA My Food Plate and the Canada Food Guide both compromise science and have for decades. They both violate many basic food chemistry rules if human health and the prevention of disease are the sole objective. The athlete's food pyramid is just a guide, but the emphasis is on fresh, whole, organic, natural food. On this edition of Clinical Review, my topic is PSN number 33, Nutrition Myths. A myth is a widely held but false notion. It is an unfounded premise or belief started by an individual or group of individuals that hope to elicit a public response. In Module 3, the 3 nutrition myths I use as examples include the myth that 1, cholesterol is bad, 2, the best diet is a high carbohydrate diet, and 3, a balanced diet gives you everything you need. In each case, I provide evidence to the contrary, which unfortunately the masses are unaware of. Their ignorance is intentional. In relation to the science of sports nutrition and human performance, much of what is currently known and defined as fact right now, as opposed to what was thought to be true 10 to 20 years ago, has yet to be made known to many health professionals and coaches active in the field who continue to disseminate and dispense to athletes and the public what they believe to be true. The only way any of us as health-conscious consumers, parents, retailers, wholesale account managers, personal trainers, coaches, athletes, or health professionals can keep up with current information after graduating from any educational endeavor is to attend seminars and read journals on a systematic and regular basis and to subscribe to various education-based resources specific to our field. You can't expect to enjoy the health benefits today from your experience as a junior hockey player 20 years ago when you were also weightlifting and running. And so it is with education and the acquisition of knowledge. It's like a river that carves a canyon through rock. It is always moving forward, making progress, and in a state of dynamic flux where change is the constant. If you decide not to pursue this approach, meaning taking the time to constantly study and learn, which admittedly is demanding and takes time, energy, and courage, you run the risk of becoming professionally isolated and disconnected. But if you do put in the extra time and remain committed to the acquisition of knowledge, not only will you never be left behind, you will almost certainly become a leader, a champion, or a trendsetter in your area of expertise. The amount of information pouring out at this very moment into the world's information stream is not only vast, it is extremely accessible, making it more fresh and alive than ever before. This makes it conceivable, then, that what you learned 3 to 5 years ago, or even last month, may no longer apply or it may have been expanded or redefined due to new existing information. A 2011 study that appeared in Science Express, an electronic journal that provides select science articles ahead of print, calculates the world's total technological capacity to be at least 295 exabytes of information. One exabyte is approximately 1 quintillion bytes or 1 billion gigabytes. It's been estimated that 5 exabytes would be equal to all of the words ever spoken by mankind. Here's another way of looking at it. Until 1900, human knowledge doubled approximately every century. By the end of World War II, knowledge was doubling every 25 years. Today, things are not as simple, as different types of knowledge have different rates of growth. But on average, human knowledge is doubling every 13 months, and that rate will increase exponentially. IBM's projection for the future is a doubling rate of every 12 hours. Unfortunately, much of what Western society believes about nutrition is a distortion of science and truth, especially concerning the significance of food as a healing device and its connection to chronic disease and premature death. For example, the same people who deny the use of creatine or whey protein for fear of kidney damage are almost always severely dehydrated and hyperacidic and have no idea how much protein or water they actually require in biological terms. Without even knowing it, they are attached to much greater health risks based on what they eat and drink, which they think is healthy or somehow benign. Thinking something to be true without evidence based on hearsay is common, but that doesn't make what you think you know true. Believing in things we have no explanation for is uniquely human. It is this tendency that has powered literature, art, and even large amounts of science throughout history. Sometimes the basis for our belief rests on a person or leader we have learned to trust. More often, however, it's just a set of simple assumptions. Needless to say, false beliefs and false assumptions have a huge downside. If we become attached to a certain belief that is false, we tend to resist change, often in the face of overpowering evidence to the contrary. In psychology, cognitive dissonance is a form of mental discomfort experienced by an individual who holds two or more beliefs that contradict one another and performs an action that conforms to one but contradicts the other. When confronted with new information that conflicts with or invalidates one of these existing beliefs, people engage in a process called dissonance reduction to bring their cognitions and actions in line with one another. This creation of uniformity allows for a lessening of psychological tension and stress. In other words, it helps them get by. Most of us have been exposed from birth to a huge amount of neatly packaged but incorrect myth information pertaining to nutrition, beginning first in the home via TV, our parents, and extended family, and then continuing in elementary school all the way up through the educational system, including university. Instead of becoming highly trained experts in the care and management of our own bodies upon high school graduation, we end up in middle age not having a clue how to exercise, eat right, or use herbs and natural medicine for our own benefit. In fact, most of what we know about healthcare is based on the experience of how we ourselves or the people we love respond to medical intervention, often in a state of fear and emergency, and mainly because of decay, injury, and disease. Over time, our perception of medicine becomes a paradigm of treatment rather than prevention, being more an osmotic derivative of exposure to commercial television, radio, and newspaper advertising, instead of reliance on biological science, exercise physiology, and truly objective nutritional medicine. It tends to be reactive and panic-driven, rather than proactive, with a decent measure of self-control and self-reliance. In your own private or professional circle, how many people do you know right now who are taking really good care of themselves? How many people have what it takes, including the will and knowledge, to do the right job? How many people are actually doing the work that optimum health demands? And if not, why not? Here's a simple example of mass market persuasion. Most people use processed white vegetable oils as staple oils in cooking, baking, or for salad dressing. Things like mazola oil, cottonseed oil, or safflower seed oil sold in clear plastic bottles. Huge oil production companies conveniently sidestep important issues like trans fatty acids, empty food calories, and sterility, and instead promote these denatured mutagenic vegetable oils by emphasizing the fact that they contain no cholesterol, assuming that most people think cholesterol is bad. They redirect consumers to what has been engineered in their minds through decades of false propaganda. Trans fat awareness is growing now, so the makers of lifeless junk oils promise no trans fats, but again, they sidestep other extremely important issues of nutrition, such as the EFA content of the oil, or they avoid telling us how their oils are produced. Due to ignorance pertaining to basic food chemistry and massive public confusion because of contrasting expert opinions, people remain unaware of the fact that most commercial oils do not provide essential fatty acids, especially omega-3 fatty acids, or many of the original fat-soluble nutrients like vitamin A, D, E, or K, which is the reason why we are supposed to consume fats and oils in the first place. Few consumers know that such oils have been solvent extracted, degummed, heated, refined, bleached, and deodorized, thus stripping the oil of everything worthwhile. What is worse is that the consumer is fooled into thinking that such a corrupt and damaging artifact actually represents a healthy addition to their diet. And so the beat goes on. Sadly, the joke is being played on us, but the outcome isn't very funny, especially when it comes to the health of our children who gobble up the garbage parents and schools feed to them. A myth is a story that is literally made up by someone or a group of people that has no basis in fact or reality. It's often the complete opposite of what is true. Myths can decoded with half-truths are used to misdirect or persuade us away from the actual truth. And of course, this has become commonplace in our society in relation to health, fitness, and wellness. Every day, we're misled for the sole purpose of blind obedience and consumption, to buy into the false flag thinking that it's real. But thankfully, there's something we can use to stand up against all the lies, deceit, and deception. It's called evidence, and often it's in plain sight. Just ask Sherlock Holmes. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from Rollo May, American existential psychologist and author of Love and Will. A myth is a way of making sense in a senseless world. Myths are narrative patterns that give significance to our existence.